Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And this morning, we're going to take you back to Italy. Oh, I wish we didn't have to leave Italy. But anyhow, we're going to report on our recent visit there.
Only about 150 kilometers to the left or to the west
of our last
from where we were last week. In fact, one of the places, a lovely restaurant in the beautiful seaside town of Grado,
which is actually
on the way. But
it's mostly Veneto in this segment.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to start with an old favorite of ours, Trattoria Zamboni. We are so happy to be back at Zamboni. The bells are ringing because we're back, Peter says. We're going to be talking to three very important people. We're going to actually have a translation help from Simone Fando. And also, we will be talking to the chef, Giuseppe Zamboni. And Lucia
Zamboni.
Lucia runs the show, and Giuseppe is the chef. And we're going to also be asking our translator to just start us off by giving us a brief history of this wonderful restaurant where we ate 10 years ago. Simone, can you tell us a little about the history, or maybe Lucia can and you can translate?
Yeah, this restaurant opened in the 1969, so quite time ago, and the Famiglia Trentin and Zamboni started to work first at the osteria, and after year, they start to prepare new dishes, research the quality, and to in 10-12 years time after became one of the most important restaurants in the area.
Now, Lucia, you were here when we were here 10 years ago, and you have taken over total management. In these 10 years, I assume that this restaurant has grown a lot. Can you talk a little bit about how much bigger and more important this restaurant is?
She said that logically, year after year, they improve, they research new recipe, and they work logically to improve the quality for the critics, not for us, but for the critics. The restaurant is going up. Yeah.
Giuseppe, you've been cooking since you were 14 years of age. Now you're in charge of this kitchen. What are the favorite things you have to make? You are a traditionalist, I understand, but you have different things like your garden. Talk to us about that, your style.
Le cose che mi piacciono fare di più è lavorare le carni, qualche pesce del lago che abbiamo qui vicino.
I say that you love cook the beef, the meat, and also the fish from the lake in this area. Like we have the pike fish, our traditional recipe, and it's quite famous in this.
Giuseppe, you also are involved, you and your brother, with this wonderful garden. What do you grow?
Nel nostro orto abbiamo delle erbette aromatiche e poi abbiamo anche il broccolo fiolaro. Coltiviamo anche vari ortaggi di stagione.
Logically, all the aromatic herb that we need in the kitchen. And then broccolo fiolaro, che is our indigenous variety of broccolo that Severino started to use 12 years ago, and all the the seasonal vegetable, logically, that we use also in the restaurant.
What do you think we will eat tonight? Could you just describe in detail some of the dishes we will eat tonight?
As you can see the menu, you have a lot of starter, first courses, and main courses. So normally we use the product coming from the season. As you can see, you have now we are in summer, crostone. This is a small bruschetta with our local raw ham, prosciutto crudo, and burrata cheese coming from south of Italy. Then you have a fresh rabbit salad with black olive and dried tomato. Oh, we have a lot of food with mushroom, a lot of dish with mushroom. This is very good. This one is salad flan with finfully mushroom with fondue of Asiago cheese, which is our famous cheese from the Alps, the local. Then we have logical octopus salad with orange and grapefruit, quite a lot.
It all looks wonderful. Tell us, you are the sommelier. What kinds of wines are in your programma?
Fortunately, Ristorante Zamboni is new, no, for the food, but also for the great cellar. So we have all the wine coming from our region, Vicenza, Verona, with all a lot of Amarone wines, Valpolicella, a lot of Prosecco. But we have a great cart with a lot of wine coming from all the Italy, but also for again Germany, not just Italy, also France, Spain, and Germany, America. So we have around 1,000 references.
I'm looking out at this glorious view, which I remember seeing the first time 10 years ago, and I would like to ask Lucia what it feels like to look out at this property that she has inherited through her family and just breathe in how magnificent this is.
Mi sento in ferie tutti I giorni.
She said that it's like to stay on holiday every day.
And you have big shoes to fill, Giuseppe, with Severino. It must have been an incredible transition for you to move into his shoes, even though you were in the kitchen helping him in his last days.
Certamente è stato un bel impegno, ma comunque ho avuto la fortuna che Severino, prima di andarsene, mi ha istruito, è stato sempre una persona speciale che ha saputo trasmettermi tante cose, perciò l'impatto è stato forte, però grazie a lui ce la facciamo.
So she said that before leaving us, Severino helps and supports Giuseppe to keep on with this job, and he was sure that Giuseppe was the right person to maintain the high level in this restaurant.
Are there some dishes, at least one or two, Giuseppe, that are totally yours, that you would like to describe for our listeners?
Uno dei piatti che è sempre stato un mio piatto preferito è sempre stato il lucio, anche perché ho sempre avuto la passione di pescare. Con Severino e tutta la nostra famiglia è stato un piatto che abbiamo sempre portato avanti perché è proprio del territorio. Dopo e anche il coniglio, che molto fortunatamente è nostrano e molto bene, è molto buono. E dopo anche la soppressa di nostra produzione, che è un insaccato che a me piace tanto.
So for Giuseppe, we think for all of us, the lucio, the pike fish, is the dish that we love much, because is the dish of the tradition of the of this site, and say that he loves fishing, so is a product that is important, because it's not easy to find the pike fish in the restaurant. It's quite difficult, yeah. And then also the soppressa, we produce also the soppressa, that is the traditional salami. And we produce a soppressa that is another dish that must be on the menu. And rabbit, coniglio alle braccia.
You get very busy here. Is it difficult to get a reservation?
During the weekend, it's better to call us, of course. During the week, it's better to call us too. Because you are normally quite busy, yeah.
Can you describe very briefly where this restaurant is located?
We are located close to Vicenza. It's a small town between Verona and Venice. And we are 10 kilometers far from Vicenza on the Colli Berici Hills, close to the Lago di Fimone. We are by car 12 minutes from Vicenza.
Well, I'm looking forward to this meal, and I love being back here, and I love talking to the Zamboni family again. We are very fond of the Zambonis. Yeah, Pietro, you have something to say?
I just wanted to make sure everybody got the website, and try not to get lost like we did on your way here. It's really funny. The first time we came here, we had good directions and we had no difficulty. This time we had no directions and we had much difficulty. So we traveled 40 kilometers from Vicenza to find our way here. But electronically, how do people find Trattoria Zamboni on the internet?
You can find Trattoria Zamboni and you can check our website, www.trattoriazamboni.it, and you get all the information on the web.
And make sure you get here. Vicenza is first of all, Vicenza is a beautiful town, and we had a lovely revisit there today. But it's worth driving 40 kilometers as we did, rather than 10. As long as you know, you will find the destination, which we eventually did.
Sometimes there are men at work because, you know, there's wide road, but Vicenza is quite nice because, you know, it's very important for the architecture. Palladio born here, and the neoclassic style starts from Vicenza. And also in all the Europe, also in USA, you can, the influence of Palladio opera.
And listeners, when you come here, you will be really embraced by the hospitality offered by the Zamboni family, and particularly someone everyone loves is Lucia. Yeah. She is everyone's sweetheart, Lucia. Grazie tanti.
And before we go, we must pay tribute to Severino Trentin and the lifetime that he gave to this restaurant, making it what it is today. Giuseppe, you must feel really proud.
Certo, è una bellissima cosa, è una bellissima eredità che ci ha lasciato, e cerco di portarla avanti al meglio.
Of course, he's proud to do good job, and also to help family and to remember the name of Severino. Of course. All the restaurant in this area, that is Buone Tavole, every year we make concorso that prize a young chef from the school with the name of Severino Trentini to support the new chef, the new young chef, every year with the school of that's important, very important.
A last note, listeners, if you have really sharp ears, you will hear the phone ringing. Yeah. I suspect Trattoria Zamboni is in for another busy evening. And don't go away, because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net. Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Believe us, listeners, that this restaurant is good because we came back after our last trip 10 years ago with menu in hand that we had eaten then. It is a Tavernetta Alandrona, and it is a seafood restaurant par excellence. We're going to be talking to the chef, his brother, and our good friend Laura Gerion, Laura, you will correct me. And we are, of course, in Grado, which is a very interesting city unto itself. Let's start with Attius. You are the chef. Why are you cooking? Do you love food? Do you love the kitchen?
Ho iniziato questo lavoro passione, anche perché siamo tre generazioni che facciamo i ristoratori. Mio nonno, mio papà, mio zio e io ho fatto il mestiere che ha fatto mio nonno.
I started this type of job for my own passion, but not only, also because there are three generations in my family doing this type of work. So my father, my grandfather, and so on. And therefore I started this type of passion, and now I want to take on the tradition.
This restaurant now is a family-owned restaurant, and it's been in this location for how long?
This restaurant is here 50 years.
And I'm going to ask Alan, well, before I do that, I think it's very interesting that the names in your family are not traditional Friulian, they're not traditional Italian names. Tell us some of the names and why you're named Alan, Attias.
Allora, abbiamo dei nomi particolari perché il nonno, durante la guerra e prima della guerra, navigava con le navi, quindi girava il mondo. E quindi quando è stato in Egitto ha chiamato un figlio Osiris, che è diciamo il dio del sole. E poi ha navigato fino all'Australia, era in Australia, e l'altro figlio l'ha chiamato Sydney. E una figlia, quando ha fatto la guerra di Spagna, l'ha chiamata Diala, che è un nome un po' spagnolo, ecco, tipico spagnolo. E poi Osiris e Sydney a loro volta hanno, diciamo così, continuato questa tradizione, hanno chiamato a me Alan, mio fratello Attias, mio cugino Onice, mia cugina Neva, e avanti così. Mio figlio Tommaso.
So, our names are not Friulian, as you said, and it's true. And their origin is due to our grandfather, who was to the Second World War. And he traveled a lot along the seas. So when he stopped, for example, in Egypt, he decided to call his son Osiris, like the god, the Egyptian god. Then he traveled till Australia and he called his second son Sydney. And again, when he participated to the Spanish War, he called her daughter Diala. Okay. Then the tradition was going on with the nephews, who were called Onice and Neva. But then the tradition stopped when Alan's son was called Tommaso. That is a very traditional Italian name.
You are spoiled for choices, being so close to the sea. What is this fish market in Grado like?
Tutto il pesce che cucino nel mio ristorante, nella mia cucina, è esclusivamente di Grado, il 95% è di Grado. Il restante viene dalla nostra vicina Croazia, come gli scampi e i gamberi, che non si trattano di pesci particolarmente indicati per il fondo sabbioso che abbiamo qui a Grado. E il mercato a Grado è molto, molto ricco, c'è tanto pesce, come avete visto, il pranzo che vi ho preparato è tutto il pescato del giorno, mi recco la mattina, guardo cosa c'è di buono e così faccio la spesa per il ristorante.
The Tavernetta Landrona uses only fish coming from Grado seas. Something is taken from the near Croatia, like shrimps, like prawns or shrimps. Grado has a very rich seas market. Attias goes to the seas market, fish market, sorry, every morning to take all the very fresh food. That's the only type of fish used in the Tavernetta Landrona.
Well, we've enjoyed this now twice. Alan, tell us what, just our listeners like to know in detail what the food tastes like, what the dishes are like. Can you just say what we ate today?
Allora, oggi voi avete il primo piatto che abbiamo servito, era un antipasto di pesce crudo, servito con appunto una tartara di branzino, una tartara di tonno, carpaccio di sogliola e degli scampi crudi, per dare più un sapore semplice del pesce. Il secondo piatto era un gazpacho, una zuppa diciamo fredda di pomodoro, cetrioli e peperoni, servita con un pezzo di astice sempre qua pescato nell'Adriatico, e mozzarella di bufala, una creazione così di Attias. E poi un piatto molto famoso alla Tavernetta d'Androne è l'insalata di crostacei, che è un'insalata insalata russa fatta con verdure e maionese, dove sopra mettiamo appunto degli scampi, dei gamberi fatti a vapore, con del caviale di soia, una specialità, un'idea di Attias. Questo è un piatto molto ricercato alla Tavernetta d'Androne. Poi abbiamo mangiato le canocce, che sono anche un pesce, un crostaceo che si pesca qui a Grado, viene fatta al vapore, messa sopra la pappa al pomodoro, che è una specialità italiana, è pomodoro fatto con il pane, con la molica del pane. E alla fine abbiamo preparato l'orata in savor, è un gioco che vuole richiamare la ricetta veneziana delle sarde in savor. Noi l'abbiamo fatta con l'orata, che è un pesce un po' più nobile, e la cipolla è fatta in agrodolce, quindi un piatto insomma sempre un po' tradizione ma creativo.
So the dishes you ate today were taken from the tradition, from the Italian tradition, but were revised by Attias in some way. Okay, you ate, for example, the sea bass tartar, shrimp, crude shrimp, sole and tuna. Also a gazpacho, that's a soup made with tomato and peppers. With lobster and our Italian traditional mozzarella di bufala. You also ate prawns and shrimp salad with soya caviar and the canoche with pappa al pomodoro. That's an Italian soup made with tomatoes and bread. Then, to finish, orata in savour, that's taken from the Venetian recipe, traditional Venetian recipe, sarde in savour, but revised by our chef, Attias.
Now, Alan selected some wines for us very carefully to go just exactly with the food, and guess what? All those wines were made from grapes and made by vineyards right here near Grado. Perhaps he can tell us what we particularly tried.
Per questi piatti abbiamo servito, per i primi due piatti antipasti, abbiamo servito una ribolla gialla, che è un vitigno autoctono, tipico del Friuli, delle vigne di Zamò, un vino che ha circa 11 gradi e mezzo, 12 gradi alcolici, quindi molto leggero, ed è consigliato per gli antipasti, per un pesce crudo o per esempio anche per il gazpacho. Poi abbiamo continuato con una malvasia di Sandro Princic, e anche questa, la malvasia, è un vino tipico qui dell'Italia, ma anche un po' Slovenia e della Croazia, e quindi un vino tipico che si abbina molto bene con l'insalata di crostacei e le canocce che avete servito. Invece colorata in savore abbiamo servito un Sauvignon, perché la cipolla è un po' più forte, la cipolla era in agrodolce, l'orata, il pane fritto, aveva bisogno di un vino più aromatico, più saporito, e il Sauvignon, abbiamo servito questo Sauvignon qua.
Ok, for the first dishes we suggested ribolla gialla from Vigna di Zamò. This type of wine has 12 degrees, and it's very suggested for dishes like gazpacho or crude fish. Then we continued with Malvasia di Doro Princic. That's a typical wine from Italy, but also Slovenia and Croatia. And it's very suggested for shrimps salad. To finish, we served Sauvignon. That's a stronger wine, typical for orata in Savoie, for example.
Laura, you did a wonderful job. You have all these notes. I'm going to steal these notes so that I have them later. We kept the menu that Atius and Alan created for us 10 years ago and brought it with us. They didn't keep a copy, but they have one now. So that memory will always be with us, and we'll have some wonderful notes here of our visit on September 5th, 2014. And I hope we'll have the opportunity to come back before September 5th, 2024. So we will look forward to seeing you. And in the meantime, we hope many of you listeners around the world will check out this really charming small town, almost suspended in the Adriatic, because it's so disconnected from the mainland close by. So it's not surprising that everything's about fish, because the island is surrounded by fish.
Now we'll just all say ciao. And we had a great meal this time, and we expect another one the next time. But please, all of you, grazie mille and say ciao.
Ciao a tutti, grazie mille.
Ciao da Grado.
Ti saluti dalla Tavernetta Nandrona e vi aspettiamo a Grado.
And we'll take a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back, and for our next segment, we're going to have Il Coniglio introduce our segment on Suave Consortium, and followed in quick order by three wineries that we visited this trip.
Yeah, so Suave is a place, first of all. But Suave is also a designation for a particular kind of wine made from a particular kind of grape, mostly called Garganica. The name of the town and the name of the region is Suave, and the wine that's mostly made there is called Suave Classico. And we're going to introduce it by replaying an interview that we did with the head of the Suave Consortium, Giovanni Poncia. I think it's Poncia, something close to that. And then with three of the wineries that we visited in person, in no particular order other than alphabetical, Balestri Valdi, Gini, and Monte Tondo. And this is a long segment, but you're going to want, if you're interested in Italian white wines and you want to know more about a wine that doesn't have the greatest reputation in the United States but should have a better one than it does. And here are some people to tell you why it should.
We're welcoming Giovanni Poncia. From where in Italy are you, Giovanni?
I'm in a small medieval town that is called Suave, in northern Italy, between Verona and Venice.
Nice area, very nice area.
And not only is it a beautiful town, it's a beautiful wine, listeners, and if you are not familiar with that, you are soon going to find out perhaps more than you ever wanted to know.
Giovanni, you are in charge of the Suave Consortium.
Correct.
And you are an enologist as well.
Fine, correct. I'm an enologist.
The press release we got said that there was this revival of interest on the part of American drinkers, but I'm assuming that there are others around the globe, too, who have rediscovered the wine called Suave.
That's what we hope.
Yes, well, anyhow, well, we like it. Could you possibly tell our listeners about the grapes and what makes Suave?
Suave, next Suave style, is a potpourri of different expressions, of different styles, all made up with a single, the same variety, that is the Garganega. are very difficult to be pronounced by Americans. I know.
Garganega,
yes. Garganega. The queen of our area, and there are more than 100 different producers here. They are year by year increasing their quality, and now Sauve became, after 20 years, the most recognized Italian wines, talking about the white varieties. Sauve is the one that wins always year by year the largest number of prizes, and it's also the most produced white wine that we have in Italy.
Now, Giovanni, the grape is a native grape from that region?
It's an indigenous variety that is present only here. That's because the Garganega needs a particular microclimate, not so cold, not so hot, and then needs another particularity, that is the volcanic soil. The Garganega arrives here more than 2,000 years ago, and will be the Greek. I think that were the Greek populations that bring this variety from the Middle East. And the variety that grows only here in Sauve, and this volcanic soil is very completely black, and when you don't see other black stones, you start to find out other red varieties. That's because in Italy we say that the red wines need white soils and the white wines need black soils.
Cute.
Now, the neighboring red wines in your region are the ones of the Valpolicella region, correct?
Yes, it's very close from here. Sauve and Valpolicella are the two big producers in Italy, are two different areas, different for the soils, but also very close. Specialized, Valpolicella produced only red wines and Sauve only white wines.
Now, if we go back maybe 25 years or so in the United States,
yeah,
I think it would be fair to say, from our perspective, and I'm sure this is something you've been working very hard on, Valpolicella was a red wine which had a poor reputation, and Sauve was a white wine that had a poor reputation.
Right.
And so they might have been large in volume sales, but they were not being bought and drunk by very sophisticated wine drinkers. And obviously you've been working very hard to change that.
Yes, that's what we are trying to do. So they changed a lot of style. In that period there were only 1, 2, 3 different producers. Now things have changed. There are 3,000 growers in Sauve. There are more than 100 small producers that point, that focuses their attention only to quality. And so it's very, very easy here to find great white wines that can age for 8, 10, 15 years, and with a very interesting point of price that is very important in Italy and also in USA. And the image of Sauve is very different from what you remember in the 60s, in the 70s, thanks to God.
Okay, so I am right, and I'm glad that God's on our side. Now, I did want to ask another question from the enological standpoint. The background material we got said that there is some use of Trebbiano grapes in Sauve. To what extent is that true?
Well, we must say a thing. Till 50, 60 years ago, Sauve was completely covered by white varieties. But Garganega, in that period, represented 50% of the entire vineyard. The other 50% was the Trebbiano, but with different period of maturation. And so the growers in that period chose the Garganega that was more generous and less sensible to humidity and to the botrytis. What's changing now? We find out in the last 15 years the old clones of the Trebbiano, and planted separately and with the different cares can give a very interesting product. Now we present the 2% of the entire Sauve vineyard, but it's going to increase. I think that we reach the 5% of the Sauve vineyard in 10 years. What can give the Trebbiano to the final product, to the Sauve, is a good, I think that is an interesting acidity, is a good flavor of orange, of citrus sensations, and always also a nice apricot inside the Sauve is the traditional blend, a bit of Trebbiano. But you know, if the Garganega is the mother in all the family, not ever there is a father, you know.
Right. Now, there are four different classifications, I guess I would say, in Sauve. I think there's a straight Sauve DOC, There's a Soave Classico, there's a Soave Superiore, and then there's a Recioto di Soave. Can you explain the distinction between those?
Yes, it's a classification made up by the phenological situation. The Soave DOC can be produced, is the base of the quality pyramid that we have in Soave, and it can be produced in the flat plain, you know. In the flat plain there are four different valleys inside the Soave areas. When you start to move to the hillside area, to the hillside between the municipalities of Soave and Monteforte, you find the geographical classical area recognized in 1931, such as the class, the Chianti Classico, and then you can produce. So you can produce the Soave Classico only in this small area. If you wanted to produce the Soave Superiore, the DOCG, you have to remain in the hilly area, but with lower yields of grapes in the harvest varieties, using the same areas, but with lower yields and with different training system that are the pergolas for the Soave DOC and the Soave Classico. Pergolas such as Attent. For the Soave Superiore, you have to use the Guyot training system. And this is the top of the pyramid. Then, in the same place, always remaining in the hilly area, you can do harvest 1 or 2 weeks before of the normal harvest, picking up the best grapes and getting it dried for 4, 5, 6 months, and starting the fermentation in February and March, and obtaining a very interesting sweet wine that is called Recioto di Soave, one of the most ancient that we have in Italy.
We're sitting in the middle of what looks like paradise, if you're a wine aficionado. So I'm wondering, what is Laura Risotto doing here? It seems like she should be growing something else. But there are 2 Z's and 2 T's in Laura's name. Laura, say hello, and then I'll introduce you some more.
Hello, I'm Laura. Nice to meet you.
Laura, see, I messed that up too. We're going to talk with Laura about how you make wine right the old-fashioned way here in Soave. This gorgeous green sunny landscape in the center of the province of Veneto. Here we have an appellation which is very small, restricted, some very distinct wines. And the right way to go about that, as we were discussing, is your family buy some land, they plant grapes, the grapes ripen, and they make them into wine the old-fashioned way, the right way. Tell us how you do it at Valle Vista.
Yeah, actually, I represent the third generation. So my grandfather started in the 40s. And our choice was from the very first to respect our land. So we decided not to grow any international grape varieties, but only to focus on our native ones. That's why we only grow Garganega and Trebbiano di Soave. I got a brother, and I got a father, of course, and they are both winemakers. So I'm in charge of the export and the marketing, and it's definitely a family-run business. We are all involved in the winery.
I wanted to ask you, Laura, the name, I didn't know what it meant. Balestri Valda is the name of your label and the brand and the winery itself. You tell me that it's a woman's name. Explain more.
Yes. So Balestri Valda is a female name in Italian, and it's the name of the older owner of the land, the woman from whom my grandfather bought the land in the 40s.
Soave can be lots of different wines to different people. Sometimes it's considered a not particularly fine wine, a wine that wine aficionados don't like and non-wine aficionados do. But there are some characteristics about Soave made the right way that make it really quite distinctive and very interesting, as we've been sampling today. Do you have a way of comparing it to other Italian white wines that would give our listeners who've never tried it a picture of what it's like? I just wondered if there was a way you could describe Soave and you could say it's a bit like Trebbiano, or it's a bit like Pinot Blanc from Friuli, or maybe it's please tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry, but I think you are wrong because Suave is very unique. Because it's made with a native grape variety, Garganega, which is not grown elsewhere. That's why Suave is not easy to compare with other wines, because it's made with this kind of grape and because of the soils. We got volcanic rocks, which means very mineral wines. I hope. I think, I mean...
No, I'm sure you're right. Now the interesting thing is, Suave, as we've drunk it so far, can be drunk, if you like, young or younger. So it's a wine. What I mean by that is, it's a wine where you can enjoy the 2013 vintage, you can enjoy the 2012 vintage. Years before that, is Suave still viable, or has it really lost what it's famous for?
Well, I think that even if it's a white wine, if it's well done, it can last long. So our very old vintages, of course, are different from the fresh ones, because you lose flowery, you lose fruity aromas, but you earn a lot of mineral taste, and so they are very interesting. They are, of course, different, but still very good.
I'm sensing that Suave is a very good wine to drink before dinner. During dinner, what kind of food would you say that it pairs with really well?
Well, of course, the first food I would think about would be fish. Any kind of fish, any kind of recipe with fish, but not only fish, because you can compare with a lot of cheeses, of course, vegetables, and we got some very good recipes of pasta with vegetables or cheeses or eggs. And it depends on the vintage, if it's a fresh vintage or if it's an older vintage with more body, more structure, and you can try to match with a more complex food.
Now, I was very surprised when you said earlier in our conversation that you export a very substantial percentage of the wines that you make.
Yeah, nowadays we are exporting almost the 80% of the production. So this means that Suave wines are very popular and that people around the world like Suave wines.
So get on board, everyone. Baldestri Valdi has been very well reviewed in the United States recently. You owe it to yourself, I think, to find out which of your wine suppliers you can get it from. And then you can be jealous of us having sat here in the sunshine and enjoying what the grapes enjoyed on their way to your glass. Lara, thank you so much for talking to us today.
This is our Suave Classico. It's made 100% Garganega grapes from 6-7 different single vineyards in Suave Classico area. Every year we vinificate these grapes from each single vineyard, and then the wine stay 4-5 months in stainless steel on East, and before the bottling, my brother and I test and trying this different Suave Classico, and we choose and decide the blend.
Now, speaking, there was Claudio Gini, whose name is on the label of every bottle, together with his brother. You told us earlier, Claudio, that winemakers in your family go back a very long time.
Gini is my family names. We are a wine producer from 17th century. five generation. Now my brother Sandro, I'm Claudio, and our sister Marta, all family work in between vineyard and cellar. We have 35 hectare in Suave Classico area, all to one unique variety, Garganega grapes, and the vineyards are in the property in our family from a long time, so now we had very old vines from 70 year old to 100 year and more.
And everybody works in this family. So on my right-hand side is 9-year-old Andrea, who when we came in was working on the...
Ciao.
But tell our listeners, what were you doing when you were working, right? Andrea's very shy. I suspect he might come back to us, he might not. So we started out with, it's not fair to call it a basic wine, because the only thing basic about it relative to the other wines you make is it's probably less expensive. But in many ways you said it's the hardest wine to make. An easier wine to make is one that comes from a single vineyard. Tell us more about that.
Yes, of course. So our Suave Classico is for us the most important Suave we made, I think, because we made the quantity bottle, and the price are interesting, and this is possible because we had a great old vines and so great soil, because these vines are located in the best hillside position. The soil is 80% volcanic soil, another part limestone. Sometime we had a few single vineyard with a mix of two soils. So great soil and old vines give a great Suave, I think.
Well, now what are we going to try next?
The next wine we're trying is the single vineyard La Frosca 2012. La Frosca is the name of the hill. It's an 100% volcanic stone. The vines are very, very old, 80, 90 years old. And this is 100% Garganega, same the Suave Classico. And it's very, very particularly of this single vineyard is the great excursion, thermal excursion, because during the night the
final wine we're going to try, I'm sure, Claudio, you kept the best till last.
Best wine till last.
Ah, yes. No, La Frosca is... now we try La Frosca.
No, the one after that.
Another single vineyard is Contrada Salvarenza, 2011, from old vines, the more oldest vines we had. This is a special vineyard because all the vines are pre-filosa, very, very old. We think 120 years or more. And particularly of this single vineyard is that we had two different soil. On the top we had volcanic, and underground we had the limestone. So the vines can take different minerality and the other substance.
Well, Claudio, we can together bring good news to all Soave wine lovers in the eastern part of the United States, because we saw cases and cases and cases of Gini Soave getting ready to be on their way. So, guys, hang on. The 2013 vintage will be with you soon. And, Claudio, we thank you so much for talking to us on the menu today in 2014. And we wish you a great vintage in a year when the weather has not been so good, I understand.
2013 was a very good vintage, so we are drinking very, very good Soave Classico now. And for 2014, it's too early for the cider. Yeah. Because Garganega is a late variety. Generally, we start the harvest in the 1st of October, so now we had another month before harvest. And we hope there will be a good weather in September.
Well, we've been in the Veneto for 3 days now, and the sun has shone all the time, so we are bringing you good sunshine for your grapes, and we thank you very much for talking to us. We're talking to Marta Magna Bosco at Monte Tondo, another cantina in the Veneto, in the region of Soave, and some different things happening here than are traditional in Soave. Is that right, Marta?
Sì, that's right. We are a family here in Soave, and we produce the traditional Soave made by only Garganega grape, so the typical grape from Soave. We produce the Soave Classico in the calcareous soil with the receipt that my grandfather gave to my dad for produce it in the typical way. So how was made when my grandfather was in life?
When he was still alive.
Yes,
grazie. And an interesting thing is that with this traditional wine, a traditional Classico, it's in a traditional Classico bottle.
Yes, we use the traditional bottle of Soave. It's called Renana, so it's a long bottle. And we bottle the Classico Soave, only the classic version, on that bottle.
Listeners, that's the one, if you remember, the one that won't fit in your refrigerator door. Now, beyond that, you developed some new expressions of the Soave. Tell us a little bit about those. There's one that comes from a particular place, and then there's a different concoction called Superiore.
We produce a Superiore version of Soave. We are one of the few producers of it. It's a kind of maximum expression of the Garganega grape. We have a very small production of it in terms also of production per hectare, about 6,500, 7,000 kilograms of grape per hectare, something like half of the usual production of the Soave DOC. So very, very concentration of quality in each single grape. Is our top Soave, the best we produce, and is produced on the best soil we have in the Foscarin Hill, that is a volcanic soil on the classic area in Soave.
Now that's an interesting name. Do that name again and then spell it out, because I can't get it unless I read it on the bottle.
The name is Foscarin, Foscarin. Is the name of the volcanic soil of the hill. See?
And then there's another word after it on the bottle.
See, the second name is Slavinus, S-L-A-V-I-N-U-S, and it's it's come from Slavina, so about it's a kind of explanation about how steep and how much erosion is on that hill, how hard is work on that hill.
Now, if you're like Miss Anne, your life is not complete in a wine-growing region unless you can also find cantinas that do things with red wine, and you're doing that too.
See, we also produce red wines in Valpolicella, even if our main production is white wine, because it's our main wine, main grape, where we the kind of wine about.
I was also interested, however, in you introduce a real exotic grape from France and the United States and other places called Cabernet Sauvignon, which doesn't exactly fit into the profile of winemaking in Soave.
See, we actually produce Cabernet Sauvignon. It was our first red wine when we didn't have any vineyard in Valpolicella. It was the only alternative of the Soave till the 2000 year. And then since 2000, we actually are producer also of Valpolicella wines, but that's another story.
And Anne's waving a bottle at me to remind me of another story, which is sparkling Soave.
See, we are one of the few producers of Soave Spumante, is a Soave Brut, and that's also made by Garganega grape for 100%. If I'm not wrong, we are only 6 producers of this kind of Soave, so it's interesting, something special, and it's very fresh, it's the kind of wine perfect for summer, as it is very fresh and fruity, and the Garganega were perfectly with bubbles.
And it's perfect for just before dinner too. And with that note in mind, we have to head in the direction of dinner. I'm not sure whether Marta, you're heading in the direction of dinner or just more work. But we do thank you for joining us today on the menu, and we wish you continued success with this operation. And just to conclude, tell our listeners a little bit about the scale, because you don't have to just visit here. You can stay here. You can eat here.
See, we are a winery with a bed and breakfast, agriturismo style. So we only have we give the service of bed and breakfast, and then we have a tasting room where we can give the welcome of all tourists that would like to have a little tour of the winery and the tasting of wine together with some cheese and salami. So our absolutely everybody are welcome here for sleep and have a good glass of still or sparkling Soave.
And the amazing thing is that all this is happening within about 500 meters of an intersection on the Autostrada. And I asked Marta earlier on, I said, do the grapes really like the noise? And I think you said that was really a silly question.
I'm not sure if the vines like the noise, but it's a good thing for us because it's easy to find us. It's easy to arrive in Soave. So, yeah, in that way, in these terms, is good.
Well, once again, thank you so much. All I can say is look for this in your local wine store. I'm sure you'll enjoy. So as we bid farewell to our beloved Veneto and our beloved Friuli and our beloved Italy, we hope you'll have the opportunity to walk in our footsteps there one day very soon. And if not, at least that you'll think about it and you'll have some happy memories that you share with us. And until the same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.